All right, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Seems like that's the kind of the subject for today, love. Gary talked about love one another in Sunday school there this morning. And tonight we're going to talk about charity. Say, oh, we talk about that a lot. Well, I think we need to talk about it a lot more. We've got this problem where we just claim something and think we've got it when we don't have it. You know, kind of like the charismaniacs do. They claim it, name it, and claim it. And we do the same thing with these character traits of a Christian. We think we have them, and we come up short if we get weighed in the balances, and honestly. But let me try to hurry tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. Bible said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, it's mighty important to add these things to your faith that he named here. And the last one was charity. Add to your faith charity. Well, you know, if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to read a few verses there. That's the chapter that talks about charity. 1 Corinthians 13. Charity is defined and described for us very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All these new translations, they just change it to love, which fogs the windows and muddies the waters, because people, just like what Gary's talking about this morning, don't know what love is anymore. The world has to the world, it's a mystery. They don't even understand it. And what they call love is not love at all. All right, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Noise. That's just noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. We could stop there. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. We could go there a while too. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And then in verse 13, it says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. So without a doubt, charity is described by the Word of God to be the most important attribute of a Christian. Don't you agree with that? I mean, didn't you see that in the verses that we read there? Nothing is more important. Not faith, not love, or I mean, not faith, and where's my verse here? Not hope, but charity. The greatest of these three is charity. Faith, hope, charity, not faith. That's not the greatest thing. Hope, that's not the greatest thing. Charity is the greatest thing. It's the sum of all of our duty to all men. Charity. You understand charity. I think we all do enough to not substitute love for that word. Charity means love in action, which love is an action word anyway. I mean, that's the real meaning of love, is charity describes it more than what the world says love. I mean, you love spaghetti, you love pizza, you love candy, you love chocolate. That's not charity. That's selfish lust and greed, and that's what the world calls love. Right. Charity is giving, not taking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have a charity. You have all these charities that people give to you. What does that mean? Well, it's a real charity is a place or an organization that gives to others. Orphanages, things like that. Something that does some good. I saw the other day somebody said, you know, we gave all these millions and millions of dollars overseas, billions of dollars, and St. Jude has to beg for help to run their hospital. Ain't that a shame? What they gave, what they threw away to one of those countries could help them for a year to do what they do. But anyway, charity should begin where? Charity begins at home, yeah. All right, it's the evidence of whether or not we really truly know God. Charity, that's real important. Charity is that evidence. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Y'all know that, don't you? We sang it a lot. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Without charity, all we just read, no charity, you have nothing. All else you can do, all else you can possess, means nothing if you don't have charity. So, it is the evidence of whether or not we really know God and walk with God. It's the one thing that defines and identifies us as children of God in the minds of others. John 13, verse 35, by this Jesus said, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. That's the mark that he set on his people. They'll love each other. They won't be fighting with each other. They'll show charity one to another. They'll take care of one another. He said, let brotherly kindness in 2 Peter here. Let brotherly kindness. We need to have that. That's a predecessor or a precursor to charity. Like brotherly kindness, charity doesn't have to be qualified or, before. It doesn't require anything before it's applied. Who are you supposed to love? Who is my neighbor? Love thy neighbor. Who's your neighbor? He said, love your enemies. Jesus did. Not just, he said, if you love them that love you, you're no better than the sinner. That's what they do. If you're just good to those who are good to you, you don't do any better than the sinners of this world do, because everybody will do that.
Right.
It's when you do good to them that are evil to you. Real charity doesn't make any difference. Enemy or friend, you show them charity. We've got away from that. We don't show charity. We do token things. And that suffices. To keep our conscience still and to keep our mind deceived into thinking that we're obedient. We got it. But we really don't got it if it's not something that's in us all the time. The way the Bible described charity in these verses that I read here doesn't leave any room for just token obedience. Sometimes obedience, partial obedience in this. It's not a thing about obedience. Charity is not something you do to obey God. Charity is something that you are. It's a trait. It's a virtue, a strength. It's a part of your Christian nature. Part of that divine nature that you're a partaker of if you're a real child of God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. Simple as that. For God is love. The obligation to love has nothing whatsoever to do with the character of the object of that charity. You don't just love the lovable. You don't just show charity to the one who makes you want to.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're supposed to be charitable to everybody. If you have charity, you will be. Charity seeketh not her own. You know, charity doesn't make any difference like that. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, vaunteth not itself, envieth not, is not puffed up. Charity, real charity, just is the same toward everybody. I don't know how to get it across. It's a something that's a part of your nature when you're saved. Mercy, love, mercy, kindness, brotherly kindness, all these things are manifestations of charity. Our obligation to love others has and show charity to other people has a far deeper source than their character. We don't just look at them and size them up and see whether they deserve our charity or not. That's not charity. If that's what we're doing, then it's not. If that's what we're thinking, if that's what we're feeling, then it's not really charity. Given to people that ask you for help, like on the street I'm talking about, people that are out panhandling. You know, I've always felt this way because we lived in Mexico and I had a lot of experience with it down there, lots of it. And here, I know it's different. There's help for people everywhere, and the government hands out money to everybody, but that don't make any difference. You know, I've known people that really needed some help, and they ain't going to get none from the government. And you don't have, I mean, it's not charity if you just, if you see somebody in need, and you got to know everything about them to figure out whether you really ought to or not. I've always said this, I'd rather err on the other side. Just, if they need help, appear to need help, asking for help, if I can help them, I'm going to just help them. If they do something else, they say, you shouldn't do that, they'll just take it and spend it on cigarettes or something. Well, if they do it, it's on their head. If they lie to me,
yes, sir,
and take from me, then they're going to answer to God for it.
Yes, sir.
But if they are not lying, and I'm so wise and proud that I hold back and say, oh, I ain't going to fool me. and it was an angel unaware sent by God, then I answer for it. I'd rather keep a clean conscience before God. And I'd rather go face God and him tell me what happened than to face God and him tell me I sent somebody your way. I mean, it's in the Bible. I was hungry and you fed me not. I was thirsty and you gave me not to drink. I was in prison and you visited me not. I was naked and you clothed me not. I don't want him to say that to me. Do you? Charity doesn't examine someone to see if they pass our test and meet our qualifications as to whether they're worthy of our charity or not. And it's not necessarily transferring goods or money from us to them. Charity is your attitude towards somebody. It's how you feel about somebody. How charitable are we? On the highway. In Walmart. How charitable are we with somebody who has different opinions than we do about politics, about religion? Huh? How charitable are we? Any type of love that does this is selfish. It's proud. It's human love that has nothing to do with divine love, the love of God, which charity is. Charity is the, you know, it's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. It's what happens, you know, the old time religion we sang at here a week or two ago about makes me love everybody. It really does. A person has to get past the notion that love is emotion and feelings before he can even begin to understand what true charity is. And see, it is so, we're so brainwashed by this world. And we've all grown up in it, and we've watched their stupid movies, and we've read their stupid books, and we've listen to their stupid music about romance and all of this and love, and we've swallowed a whole bunch of that poison. And so we just can't hardly think of love without making it emotion first. Right. It's how we feel. So when God said love your enemies, I mean, to be, have charity toward everybody, we can't do it because we can't feel right about them. Well, that's because your mind's poisoned with the world's idea of what love is. That's not what love is. True charity. You know, love is this. You know, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's God commended his love toward us. That's how he showed us. How he confirmed it to us. How could he love me when I was yet a sinner? Does that mean he had warm affection for me and all of that? No. That means God was charitable toward me. He was charitable towards you and everybody in this place. Everybody. All men. God's good to all men. It's the goodness of God that brings men to repentance.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He's good to them. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. He's kind to them. Well, that's charity. Because charity's kind. Charity thinketh no evil. So, well, that don't make no sense, because if it's evil, you can see it. Sometimes we can't see the good because we're looking too hard for the evil. That's the way it is most of the time with everybody. True charity can't exist without these other graces that have been added to our faith. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. How can you have charity if you have no virtue? If you have no knowledge, if you have no temperance, if you have no patience, if you have no patience, how can you have charity? If you have no godliness, how can you have charity? What if you have no godliness, what are you? Ungodly. How about brotherly kindness? Brotherly kindness. That's familial kindness, like you show to your children, like you show to your loved ones. Brotherly kindness. Charity is the sum of all of those things. And that's why it's mentioned last here. It's not just what we practice, but it's what we are. It's the attitude of our heart toward other people. Oh, I wish I could get this across to y'all. Oh, and I hope you're listening and thinking, because this is what it is. Charity. We can talk about all the things that the Bible says about charity. And most people come up, well, I need to do this, and I need to do that, and I need to be more like that and do that more. But that's not what I want you to get tonight. What I want you to understand is the attitude of our heart and our mindset, the habits we have in our mind and our heart, how we feel about and how we think about other people. Charity needs to be the ruling thing there. When we look at other people, we need to be charitable. Giving. Giving the benefit of the doubt. You know, thinketh no evil. Let me stick here. I'm going to get ahead of myself. The first attitude of our heart toward others should be charity and not as an afterthought. I mean, you shouldn't give the guy up and down the road and call him an idiot on the road and then say, I shouldn't do that. Lord, I'm sorry. If you're thinking right, your first thought ought to be, you know, maybe something's wrong with him. Maybe he can't see. Maybe he's old. Maybe something's wrong. Maybe he's in a hurry. Yeah, maybe he don't know how to drive. But it ought to be charitable. Maybe there's a reason. Instead of so many people that are say they're Christians, they'd cuss him if they could. That's not charity. Not charity. Don't have charity. Do you understand that you don't have charity if that's how you think and act and view other people? We blow it as a Christian. Blow our testimony when we're like that. Patience? No patience? No charity. Brotherly kindness? No, none of that. No charity. All that stuff precedes. It comes to charity is the sum of all of that. It's not something. Charity is not something that reins us in from our hatred and evil thinking, but something that happens in our minds and hearts first. You know, it's kind of like grandparents and grandchildren. I remember my grandma, she didn't ever seem to think evil of me. She thought I could do, you know, no wrong. Well, she knew I could do wrong. She knew I did wrong. But she never looked for that in me. Y'all understand that?
Yes, sir.
When she saw me, she saw Mike. And she loved Mike. And he's a good little boy. And you're going to be a good little boy. And she saw the best. That's the way she looked at me. Kind of like you do with your kids. You see the best in them. Other people see the worst, but you see the best. No matter what they do, no matter how they turn out, no matter what they do in life, you hold on to hope. You've got patience when it comes to them.
Yes, sir.
You've got brotherly kindness when it comes to them. You know them and you know that it's not all bad. So you look for their virtues and their good points. That's charity. That's real charity. And you do that when you really love somebody. But when you don't really love them, you don't show them charity. You look for their, what's wrong with them. You look for anything that is unlovable so you can cull them. Not charity. Now, it's looking for the best in others first. Get me? It's looking for the best in others first instead of looking for the worst. That's what you do with your children. Believe me, that's what you do with your grandchildren. That's what you do with anybody that you really love. You look for what's good. And there's where you lay your hopes. You're not blind to what's wrong with them, to their bad points, to their faults, to things that are undesirable in them. You're not blind to it, but that's not what you... You don't look at them and think, that's a worthless kid. That's all he is, right? No, that ain't what you do with your kids when you love them. That's not what you do with anybody if you have charity. I mean, we need this in this time of hatred that's just boiling over everywhere in all of the whole world and all of our country and everywhere. People are so full of hatred on both sides. The church people of this country are just filled with hatred. And that's not going to do anything except bring destruction and trouble. Somebody's got to stop. God's people are not supposed to be that way. They are not that way. I ain't going to say they ain't supposed to be. They're not that way. And preachers need to be preaching. And moms and dads need to be teaching by example to have charity and not hatred. Charity goes a long way. Boy, it'll defuse all kinds of problems. Oh, it most certainly will. How do you? What are you supposed to do to your enemy? The Bible tells us about it in the New Testament and the Old Testament. If he's thirsty, what are you supposed to do? Give him to drink. Your enemy. If he's hungry, feed him. For in so doing, you shall pour hot coals of fire on his head. I mean, you put him out. He loses his hatred for you. Kindness. Part of charity, you know. Charity's kind. Like God's kind to you, all of us, everybody. It's his kindness and love that appeared that changed us. Titus chapter 2. What did it for you? If you're saved here tonight, that's what did it for you. When you figured out how good God had been to you, and how bad you'd treated Him, how He thought of you, and how you thought of Him. Right. It's looking for the best in others. Why can't we do that? Why can't we look at somebody and look for the best? Look for something good to love about them. Instead of looking at somebody and looking for the faults, which anybody can find easily. Well, I'll tell you what the number one reason for it is. It's pride. Because we just live like we're in a chicken pen and we've got to step up over somebody else. Or a goat pen. We got to get a little higher than everybody else. And by finding the faults in everybody else, that makes us feel like we're better. That's all that can be. Charity is when you look at other people and look for the good. When you look and consider their life. And you consider the fact that you don't know everything about them. And you don't know what they've been through, what they're going through, what they've got to deal with, had to deal with in their life. Ain't that something how it is? You know, you look at people and strangers and you have no idea. You have no idea. What kind of heartbreak, trouble, disasters, loss they've suffered in their life. What kind of struggles they've had and have. And then just judge them because you see something in them or hear something from them or, you know, just wrong. Being inclined to give the benefit of the doubt rather than assuming through imagination what might appear to be bad or undesirable. You know, things are not. This ought to be so obvious to all of us. Things are not what they always, not always what they appear to be. I mean, times you've been fooled with your first impression of somebody. Yeah. Some of the best friends I've ever had. Some of the biggest blessings I've ever had in my life started out bad. Sure, I'm glad it didn't just get thrown away and I would have missed the blessing. Things are not always what they appear to be. We ought to be wise enough, ought to hang on to that, and ought to realize that with every person we meet, with everything we encounter in life among people, we ought to realize. And we ought to take a second look and a third look. And we ought to give another chance and another chance. Everybody needs a chance, don't they? Don't everybody deserve a chance for you to be charitable to them? Charitable? They sure do. So it's being inclined to give the benefit of the doubt. If we get to have church Wednesday night, that you're going to be talking about that. We're in Romans chapter 1 there. We're going to be talking about that right there a little bit. But this is where true saving faith in Christ brings a person. They'll be best described as charitable in all things and toward all people. Reckon you got a reputation like that? You know, we was talking about Brother Thompson this morning, and he's in bad shape, needing prayer for, but he's the kind of a person that every time I've been around, that's, you know, that would be a word I'd use to describe him. Yes. Not because I know he goes around giving away stuff. No, that ain't it. It's just his attitude. Yeah. We say it around here pretty often, but they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Charitable, being charitable is caring. Yes. It's just really caring. Having an interest in people and caring. And like, I think, was it last week, Gary, you talked about compassion. And compassion is not just a feeling of sympathy, it's doing something about it.
Yes.
So, charity, that's what it is. It's having a desire to do something about the needs and problems that other people have. There's other people I've known through the years, and that's the same way it is. I remember people when I was a little kid and how they were charitable. You know, I've told you before how we lived right down here, and we had neighbors on three sides, and two of them were really good. They were charitable people. They didn't think evil of us, even though they seen us do things. I mean, we threw a baseball into their house one time, knocked a hole in the siding, and felt real bad about that. But they were still kind to us. Another neighbor didn't do nothing but yell at us all the time. Watch us like a hawk. No, wasn't charitable at all. She thought we were just mean, ornery, worthless little boys that she wished would go away. And the others would call us over and give us a nickel to go to the store and get a candy bar or ice cream, or they'd call us over and give us some ice cream or something. Charitable. So that's how I remember those people and several others I remember, because they cared. I remember a lot of Christians through the years since I've been in church and churches and stuff, and I can remember those who were charitable. I'm not talking about how they gave me stuff. I'm talking about their attitude towards me and everybody else. There were people who condemned and found fault and tried to destroy. I run into them. They don't have charity. I can say that full on, with full confidence. They didn't have charity. If you want to destroy somebody, you don't have charity. So your faith counts as nothing, and everything else you do counts as nothing before God. The Bible just said so. We just read it right here. You don't have charity. If you don't have a right attitude toward everybody else, then you ain't got a right attitude toward God.
That's right.
It is not right with God. And it's the result of the love of Christ. It's the result of the love of Christ dawning in our own heart that makes us love those who Christ loved and gave His life for. You better realize that I don't care what that other person looks like. You better realize that Jesus loved him and gave his life for him or her just as much as he did for you. Need to remember that. Well, we're looking at some real degenerate humanity now, aren't we? I look at them and it affects me just like it does everybody else. I look at them and I think, oh my goodness, what in the world? But then I get to thinking, you know, behind all of that tattoos and body modification and all of that crazy life and mind that's full of evil, there's a soul in there. That person was born as a baby in this world, just like the ones we got back there in the nursery. And who knows what a little bit of charity might have done to change the direction of their life. But some people failed along the way. And that's what you got. Well, no matter how unlovable a person may be, charity makes us realize that Christ loved them enough to die for them. And so if He loves them, we can love them also. You know, I can think that. I can do that. If I realize that Christ loved them too and died for them, then I realize the potential that's there. If they could only have their blinded eyes open, if they could only come to know God, if they could only come to see how what darkness they're in and be brought out of it. It's like I said this morning, how many people really believe anymore the gospel? The gospel that God can save and justify men by faith who believe in Him. Does God really still save old sinners? Charity stands in direct opposition to human nature. Selfishness is the first rule of life and the first consideration of a person who's under the dominion of sin. Self, first consideration. I don't believe these little children are born with that. They learn it. Just like a while ago, watching the little kids fighting over the cookies and being selfish with them and stuff like that, you know. I mean, that's what I'm just pointing out to you. Don't think that's just little children. People grow up and they get worse at it. More zealous about it. It's mine. I want. I gotta have. I'm gonna have. I'll take it. That's the attitude that it comes to selfishness. That's the rule of life for sinners. So there's something in every person that urges them to give when they see a fellow human being suffering and in want. In spite of that selfishness, isn't it amazing how people will give to a cause? You see somebody, you know what happens in this town every once in a while? Somebody get cancer, somebody have a wreck, or somebody's house burned down. They'll do something and everybody will give. Lost people. I've seen lost people who are more generous than the people who sit in church, saying the rule of their life is charity. It's a paradox, isn't it? But there's also something in that person that looks for a reason not to help, or not to show mercy, or not to receive someone. And in the person who's still under the dominion of sin, there's always a way to avoid being charitable. You can talk yourself out of it every time if you're not right with God. Being charitable. I'm not talking about just giving. I'm talking about the attitude. I just don't like them. Well, there are personalities and things that just conflict. Yeah. There's people that, you know, rub me the wrong way. Just by the way they talk, the way they act, their attitude. Yep. I don't have warm, fuzzy, lovey feelings for them. But I can show them charity. Yes. I can show them patience and brotherly kindness and charity.
That's right.
I don't have to teach them a lesson. It's not my responsibility, not my job, and I can't do it. Show them what they look like. Teach them, you know, get even with them, make them pay. No, that's not where we're supposed to be. You can't truly love someone and dishonor and disrespect them either. Honor all men. Charity is one of that'll cause you to honor all men. I don't know how many times, and I don't know how many people I can tell you about right here, but, you know, I've had people say to me, I didn't think you would even want to talk to me. Why not? I mean, I don't want anybody, to think that I think that I'm too good to talk to them or to be seen with them or, you know, no. I mean, I'm just telling you that charity is a key thing and it'll, you know, it's what we got going for us. It's what God does for us that makes a difference in our testimony and our influence over other people. If you're known as a charitable person, then your witness will count.
That's right.
In your family, in your community. If you're known as an uncharitable person, as a judgmental person, as a critical person, as somebody who's always just picking and choosing, your influence is going to be crippled at the very best. Charity requires, this sounds a little strange, but it requires that we do violence to ourselves. And I hope you understand what I'm saying here. Deny ourselves. Put others first. You know, our selfishness is so violent. You know, it's so strong that it takes violence to ourselves. And I'm not talking about hurting yourself. I'm talking about it takes some strength and some push back against yourself. It requires that. Deny ourselves. Esteem others better than ourselves. The Bible tells us to do that. Let each esteem other better than himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive, the Lord Jesus said. To the person who's led by the Spirit of God, and the one that sin doesn't have dominion over anymore, that's one and the same person. You're not led by the Spirit of God if sin still has dominion over you. That's a contradiction if there ever was one, but that's the gospel they preach now. That kind of person, there's always a reason to have mercy. And there's always a reason to be charitable. If you're led by the Spirit, that's the way you're going to think. There's a reason to help. A reason to be kind. A reason to assume the best. Look for the best. You got a reason to do that. If you're saying. If you're led by the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness. Isn't that what it says?
Yes.
So charity is just going to happen if you're led by the Spirit. If you're a child of God. If sin don't have dominion over you. Now if it does, you're going to be looking for a way to avoid this. Look the other way. You ever been guilty of that? Pretend you don't sin? I did that with the cops in Mexico a lot, but I did. I learned real quick. They didn't have a motorcycle or a bocho or nothing. They couldn't chase me, so when I went by and they were doing this, I just looked the other way and went right on by. Wasn't speeding, wasn't breaking the law. Ain't no need in them stopping me. They was just trying to stop me because they thought I had money because I was a
gringo.
Yeah. Did you ever go by a stop sign or red light or a sidewalk where somebody's begging and you just turn your head the other way? Sad to say, isn't it? No, there's always a reason, if we're a child of God, to show charity. Remember that. Can you remember that? There is always a reason to have mercy and to show charity. And this is one reason why charity is the banner of the child of God. It's like the flag we fly. It's our identifying mark. It's our uniform that we wear. Did you know that most of these hospitals, colleges, orphanages, who started those? Did the Atheist Union of the United States do that?
No.
Did the old Beer Drinkers Association do it? No. Did the Masons do it?
No.
No. Who did it?
Christians.
Churches.
Yep.
Christian people. Why? Because they're charitable. Yeah. How many Red Crosses and Salvation Armies and all of that kind of stuff? How much of that comes out of these other countries in the world that are not Christians? You know, this ain't a Christian nation. Never was one, they say. Well, I beg to differ. There's a whole lot of evidence to prove that this was based upon a Christian and the Bible. That's how this nation was founded, by those kind of people. Or there wouldn't be all these charitable organizations that are based here.
That's right.
They're not based in North Korea, South Korea, China, Russia. They don't. What? Name me some. And if some other country has a disaster, they're not there with their money and their ships and their equipment to help them. Who's there?
Yeah.
Song of Solomon 2:4 says, He brought me to His banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. Charity. It's our banner. It's how people identify us, how they know us. Those who will walk the streets of heaven will be those who loved people and showed mercy here on earth. You can bank on that as a fact. Those who are able to always find a reason and a way to withhold mercy and kindness and benevolence, even to their enemies, will not be spending eternity with God in heaven unless there's a great change wrought in their souls before they leave this world. If a brother come to you and he's destitute and in need, and you say, be ye warmed and filled, but you don't do anything to help him. What does the Bible say? How dwelleth the love of God in you? Well, the answer is it doesn't. Let me read you a couple of verses and we'll be done. Matthew 25, verses 41 through 43. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand. This is talking about Jesus when the sheep and the goats are all gathered and separated. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. You notice they're on his left hand. Now think about that a little bit. How people identify themselves now in their morals and politics and everything. Them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then one more verse, James chapter 2, verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. It's real important, and I'm just reminding us again here tonight. When we leave here and tomorrow, and we're on the road, and we're out among people, you go to your job, whatever you do, you better keep this in front of your mind. You better realize charity is the most important thing. When you look at people, you know, it's a habit too that you get into, just looking at people and just disliking them. There's a lot to dislike about people in this time that we're living in. They're rude, they're mean, they're selfish, they're hateful. So what do they need for us to be give it back to them? How do you overcome evil? With good. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus said, if a man smites you on the right cheek, what are you supposed to do? Turn to him the other also. If he asks of you your coat, give him your cloak also, or vice versa, however how it is. Yeah. Charity. I hope you understand it. I hope you'll take it to heart. Well, tell you what I said this morning, I want us to do. Let's just have a little time of prayer here, and let's pray for our country. Pray for our people. Pray for God's people. Pray for the leaders. Pray for wisdom for you, for your family, for all of us, and safety and provision. It's time to pray for those things. You know, most of us can't make it 2 days. We can't get to the store. We ain't got nothing to eat. That's a shame. So we need to pray for one another. And you know, God, it's hard for me to ask for mercy on this country. How many of you remember a little bit of Ezra's prayer? Oh my. He prayed for God to forgive his people of all their fathers. How they'd sinned and turned against God and what all they'd done. I mean, he confessed the sins of all the nation and his people and how they weren't worthy for anything. It went on for a good while. I feel like that right now, you know. I mean, how could Ezra pray for the people who had done what those people had done? Mm-hmm. As a nation. And the same way we are now, you know. Mm-hmm. We can't get enough people to vote right to even keep us halfway afloat. And so, you know, it's a dangerous time. And we just need to pray. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then what did God say he would do? I'll hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. So who's it on?
Us.
I know it's kind of hard in here. We don't have an altar to come to or anything like that. Well, let's bow. You pray. Don't just listen to me pray. You pray too. And we'll just have a time here, a few minutes of prayer. Pray for our nation. Father, we thank you for your mercy that you've showed. My, it's been so long that you've showed us mercy and you've been so patient and long-suffering with our country and all the evil that has taken place and how the people have turned away from you. And Lord, not just the unsaved, but the people who claim to be your people, who inhabit the churches across the land and how they've forsaken the truth and righteousness and even the message of the gospel. Lord, I pray that you would hear us tonight. Lord, the whole country, the world's in turmoil, and especially our country here. We've never seen it like this in our lifetime, and it's never been in such a state since the Civil War. Lord, people are so full of hate, and it's just come to the point that it's erupting in violence and killing. And Lord, we pray that you would work in hearts. And Lord, the ones who are in leadership, that they would be wise and not fools, that they wouldn't just fan the flames and throw more hatred and provoking anger at in their words and deeds, but Lord, that they would stop. I pray, Lord, that you would help us this week. Everybody's anxious about what's going to happen. I'm not really afraid. I'm just anxious to see what is really going to happen here and take place. And I know everybody else is too. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us each one wisdom to understand the times we're living in and to live our lives according and appropriately for these times. Lord, I do pray that you would help us, Father, to just not let our hearts be filled with the hatred and vile things that everybody else seems to be caught up in. Pray, Lord, you'd speak peace to our hearts, and that, Lord, even the children would be at ease knowing that you're in control of the whole thing. And if we belong to you, you will watch after us and you'll provide for us and you'll protect us. And Lord, I pray for help during these next days, this week especially, Lord. This is the week that things are going to happen. And Lord, we just pray that you would guide and direct our thoughts and minds and help us to keep our minds stayed on thee this week and in thy word, and that we wouldn't wouldn't be paying so much attention to what they're saying on the news and all of that, because it's all not true anyway. Lord, help us to be wise enough to figure that out. Lord, I pray that you would save our loved ones that are lost here soon. Lord, we know that time's running out in any case, no matter what the what happens with all of this volatile situation that we're in. We know that the time is drawn near for your coming, and I pray that you'd help us to see our loved ones ready for you to come. And Lord, we look forward to that and long for that moment when you come for us to take us to yourself. Lord, I pray you would help us to get home tonight safely. Watch over each one. Help us, Lord, to live like we talked about tonight, with charity as the rule of our life and the rule of our mind. And help us, Lord, to how we look at other people and how we think of them. Lord, help us to be charitable, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.